It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on the 16th day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. There's The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And whatever time it is you're listening to the podcast. And, well, here we go. If you're listening live, well, it would be wonderful. I would just absolutely be beside myself if you popped in and participated in the aforementioned merry, wacky, zany, multimedia, etc., where the early arrivers await you. That would be Anatole and Irish Dave and Squeaky. And if you pop in, they will be happy to greet you. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, refuses to fold space into the 93-degree man cave. And who can blame him? Hi, I'm Robin. Yeah, okay, so we've got that out of the way. And it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and we have Titanic Tuesday kind of stuff on the way. And it should be... it should be Titanic. Mm-hmm. And we'll just see how it all goes. We're still waiting for spring. It is it's 73 degrees in the studio, which, this being south facing and everything, means that it's not very... It's 67 and the rain's coming down. And I mention that just because I have this ugly habit of talking about the weather, you know. Now to Robin in the Weather Center. I mention it because it's not just rain. These are, thunderstorms. And this is kind of a big day because this is part two of the great big humongous Appalachian Electric Power May shakedown of me and this household. So naturally, there are thunderstorms in the offing, and that what that means is that, well, if that starts, there's a better than even chance that the power will begin blinking here at the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and we may not make it through the program. But we've been at this for a while, so I just figured I'd give you a heads up. If I'm here 1 minute and then you hear beep beep beep, you know, it's not that the van backed up and picked me up and took me away. It's that the power's out, and it's already happened earlier today. Earlier today we had a two blinker. It was sometime around noon, maybe a little after, the power blinked once. I was on a Zoom call, and everything froze up, and then came back, power blinked a second time, came back, and stayed on. And that makes sense, because you've got a fighting chance when it's just a 2-blink. When you get to the 3-blink, that's when you know you're screwed. And if we get a 3, well, cross your fingers, cross your toes, pray to your favorite saint or deity or, I don't know, sit on a whoopee cushion just to appease the goddess of irony. And maybe this, maybe we'll stay on the air, but this is 100% chance of thunderstorms this hour, and it's like 90 next hour, and third hour of the program is like 80%. The DAC is stacked against us. But nonetheless, we may get through, and I'm hoping we will, because there's just so damn much titanic right-wing intellect to deal with this evening. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so with that having been said, thanks go out to our 16th day of the month subscribers. And what that means is we say thank you ever so kindly to our dear friend Reinhardt on the Virginia coast, and to Mark. Thank you to Mark, and thank you to Zed in Iowa. Thank you so much. And thanks as well yesterday evening after the program to Angelica. Thank you, Angelica. It's wonderful to hear from you, and your help is so much appreciated. So what that means is that the fundraising goal at present stands at $725. $725, which is just perfect, because if we can actually raise that this evening, I can meet the ransom demands of Appalachian Power. Yay! And there's some good news to go with that. And this is a story. Bear with me for a minute, please, because this is just delightful. We need good stories. We need good news. Oh, and by the way, before I jump into that, Scott, if you're out there and listening, I didn't get to this yesterday, but I need to let you know that our buddy Reverbo, out in the greater Denver area, our buddy Reverbo sent me a message as the program was coming to a close. And he said, "It was damn good shit tonight, Scott." Reverbo immensely enjoyed the back and forth and the conversational quality between Scott, you, and me yesterday evening. So take that to heart, Scott. You were worrying about whether you brought your A-game. You did. You did. You did a great job. And I really appreciate the conversation. So just a quick story, because it's a sweet story. It's a wonderful story. So this morning, before my Zoom call, I was getting ready and putting some spackle on, and the phone rings, and I see a number whose name I recognize, and I'm like, huh? And, well, the way it worked out, one, I've been making a terrible mistake. We have multiple members of this community, but I guess we should say, but see, it doesn't work out. It doesn't sound right when you say this. You know, we've had the fraternity of Steves and the brotherhood of Davids, and we have multiple people in this community named John, and I've been pondering this all day, because John in the multiple form takes on a kind of a different connotation that just isn't appropriate. But the bottom line is that I've been mixing up two of our members of the community named John. There's John in Central PA, and then there is John who is not in Central PA. And I was confusing the two. And I hope never to make that mistake again. So this was John not in Central PA. This was, in fact, John in Maryland, who I answered the phone, and he said, "Who's this?" And I said, "Who's this?" And because it's when you get phone calls like that in the age of AI and spoofing and The result, and you never know when it's a Nigerian prince, okay? So John wanted to know why there was a charge on his card for $1.24. And I said, John, honest to God, I don't know. And eventually we got around to, he told me what it showed on his card statement. And what, and I said, oh, well, I can answer some questions. Yeah, I said, I'm Robin. And for 20 years, I've done a liberal progressive radio show. And he stopped me and said, Robin, this is Robin. I've been listening to you for almost that long. I can't believe this. And I was like, yeah. And so John, who is in Maryland, and I had just a wonderful conversation this morning. It was entirely unlooked for on my part, and I think entirely unlooked for on his part. And he told me a little bit about himself, and we talked, and he talked about following my transition, and it was a delight. And at the end, John said, "Oh my goodness!" And I got to talk with Robin Kincaid off air for the low price of $1.24. I'm not contesting anything. So that was a moment. It was just delightful. So, John, if you're listening, please know you absolutely made my day. And then John said, well, how are things going? How is it with Appalachian Power? I said, not great. Hopefully by the end of the program this evening, I'll be able to pay off Appalachian Power, and we'll live to broadcast another day. And he said, okay, how about a challenge? I said, okay. And John in Maryland has put forward the Keep It Lit challenge to help keep the program on the air. And this is a Have a Show on Me challenge. These don't happen just every day. So if we can find enough people to put together $300, John's going to double it. And that'll get us $125 away from being even at this midpoint of May. And that is almost beyond my wildest hopes and dreams, because, you know, this is not right-wing radio, so we don't have billionaires out there going, yeah, what's a couple hundred million here and there? Yeah, here, you have a million, you have a million, you get a million, look under your seat. No, this is not like that. So this challenge is just absolutely huge. And if we meet it at the end of the program, the thing that I will do between closing the program and uploading the program is pay off yet another ransom demand on the part of Appalachian Power. So, fingers crossed. And then on top of that, Ralphs said, I'm offering a $25 challenge for the Appalachian Power extortion demand. And if Ralphs' challenge is met, along with John's challenge, that comes to almost exactly what I need to send to them. So there it is. I don't know if we can knock it out, but if we can, it would be fan-freaking-tastic and take a great load off my mind. So, fingers crossed. Well, see, Randy Radar, you're asking the question that neither John nor I have an answer to. What $1.24? I don't know. Neither does John. John is right there on the 11th of every month. He's a monthly PayPal subscriber. And just out of nowhere, $1.24. And I got nothing. I don't know. But there it is. And hopefully it's nothing nefarious. Please. And maybe at some point this will go from being an unsolved mystery to a solved one. So thank you, John. Please know that I enjoyed the daylights out of the conversation earlier today. And These are the kind of little community miracles that happen all around this program. And it never, over the course of 20 years, has never ceased to amaze me. Ralphs, you can do that either way you want. You can just kick in on... You can kick in on John's challenge, or we can see if that gets knocked out, and then do yours, and then we'll be almost even. So, an anonymous friend with donor fatigue is jumping out there first to say that they have $50 on it. So that means a lot, and thank you. Thank you. So there's 250 to go on John's Keep It Lit challenge, because John's also a truth seeker. And he and I and many of us in this community share a common bond of having been longtime listeners to the Malloy program. And I trust Mike will be back this evening after Tara and I, having filled in for him yesterday, Friday and Thursday. I'm looking forward to that. He's tanned and rested and ready, Mike is, and hopefully he'll be raising hell 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time over on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. Lisa's $1.24. Hi, Robin. Hi, Lee. Okay, the negotiation of your price is complete. Now we know the cost of getting Robin to talk to you. No! Lots of people talk to me through the course of the day. And there's never any money changing hands. That's one of the things that blows my mind in the modern world of internet broadcast, is that there are hosts out there who will happily have a phone conversation with you off air, you know, for $25, $50, $75, $100, and there's a meter running just like in a taxi. I never really thought I could. No, that's not me. It's not me. Now, you know, if you want me to record your voicemail message in any voice that was one of the funny parts about the conversation with John. He wasn't sure it was me, because I don't sound the same on the phone, apparently, as I do on the air. And that's understandable, because there's a little bit of processing on this. And he said, this doesn't sound like it. I said, no, it really is. I said, here.
Would it help if I did the stupid Trump accent? The dumb Trump impression?
He goes, okay, that's you. I don't know how I feel about that. Thank you so much, Vicky. Throwing in on the challenge from Florida. Thank you, Vicky. Thanks so very much. So we're down to $200. That's amazing. It gives me hope. Because what I really want to do is, talking about calling people on the phone, what I really want to do is call Appalachian Power and talk to them. I'd like to have them paid down to zero first and then really talk to them. Now, it is, of course, Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Thank you, Vicky. And I'm really proud of the fact that sometimes we get to things before others do. I don't know how that works out, but we just do. That whole so far ahead of the curve, it's like we're on straight road thing. So all day long, it's been like, Did you see the Dunphy versus Giuliani suit papers? Why, yes, I did yesterday. And for those of you who were just catching up, and just, I put a disclaimer, I put a trigger warning on yesterday's podcast saying there was some really nasty Rudy Giuliani stuff in it. And I was just, it still creeps me out. Yes. Well, Flavio, that's so sweet. You do the best Carotene Caligula imitation. Really. I'm going to take that to heart. That just touches me.
in a really ooky kind of way. Thank you, Flavio. So the Giuliani stuff, and lo and behold, the real live, no kidding, bona fide experts are saying exactly what we said before they ever said it. Because if you listen to this program and then the next day you watch, like, Dateline Washington or whatever on MSNBC, it'll be like the show the day before. So Nicole Wallace earlier today had Andrew Weissman on to talk about the allegations that Rudy made, apparently in a recording, that he and Nitwit Nero had a scheme going to basically hustle pardons for $2 million a pop, and that they would each split it 50-50. The only part, and I've been thinking about this since we talked about it yesterday, the only part of this that I don't buy is that Nitwit Nero would split 50-50 with Rudy. Unless there was more going on in that old video of Nitwit Nero hanging out with Rudy in a dress than met the eye. And after yesterday, and he was eating Viagra like Tic Tacs. I'm not going to discount anything right off the top of my head. So Andrew Weissman thinks, and he's a former FBI general counsel, like I said, he thinks that, somebody with some authority might be looking into this.
A simple non-lawyer brain. Which part of this would be illegal? Selling the pardon or granting the pardon if you got some of the money from the proceeds, or all of it?
So I think there's an argument for all of that. What the president does is a little bit more complicated, but not that much more. Everyone should just think back to what Blagojevich did in selling.
We said that here, remember?
It also is the case that it could just be plain wire fraud. In other words, if Rudy Giuliani was not really intending to do this, but just wanted the money, that also would be a form of mail and wire fraud. I do want to say that with respect to these allegations, and by the way, there are allegations also of tax fraud. There are allegations that Rudy Giuliani knew that the election was not stolen, but was going to falsely claim that. All of those could get him into lots of hot water. But it is useful to remember this is just a civil complaint. There may be tape recordings. There may be emails, according to the complaint, that corroborate it, but we don't know that yet. And so it's worth people taking a pause. But I think to Mike's point, it is something that if you're at the Department of Justice, you would look into. In other words, the low bar, I totally agree with, which is whether it's tax fraud, election fraud, or selling pardons, that's the kind of thing that normally in the Department of Justice, you're sort of licking your chops at, making sure that that is not going on.
So you might have been then, as far as we know, as far as what is publicly facing, the last part of the last investigation at DOJ to scrub the use of the presidential pardon. Let me read what the Mueller report concluded. This is from the actual final report. Michael Cohen discussed pardons with the president's personal counsel and believed that if he stayed on message, he would be taken care of. But after Cohen began cooperating with the government in the summer of 2018, the president Trump publicly criticized him, calling him a rat, and suggested that his family members had committed crimes. During Manafort's prosecution, and while the jury was deliberating, the president Trump repeatedly stated that Manafort was being treated unfairly and made it known that Manafort could receive a pardon. Andrew Weissman, I remember when that tape came in, I believe it was my colleague Kristen Welker who asked the question, and Trump for some reason was on the driveway. of the White House. I guess you never know why Trump was anywhere. What effect does it have on a criminal investigation that is ongoing or at trial, which is, I think, when this happened, for a president to dangle a pardon?
So dangling pardons, which is obviously separate and apart from selling pardons, both of which are...
Pardon dangling. Welcome to May of 2023, when pardon dangling entered the lexicon via a lawsuit about a skeevy, pervy, old, corrupt Republican who's been dangling things since he was the mayor of New York and living in Gracie Mansion. Right. Jeepers. But he's right, and we mentioned that yesterday, too. This is a civil suit. The standard of proof is lower than it is in a criminal case. But you know what I'm kind of guessing? I'm guessing there's enough smoke that it's indication of a fire. And Rudy's not going to take the Trump route and say,
I'll try it all the way to the Supreme Court, and I'll win, because I always win, and that's what I say right before I lose.
I think he'll probably write a check. How about if I just give you the original million instead of the 10 you asked for? Make it 2, and we've got a deal. Done. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But Andrew Weissman makes a good case, and simple fraud? Simple wire fraud? And the thing is, after January 6th, do you remember? It was like kids lining up for the ice cream truck with maggot members of Congress waiting around to see if they could get a pardon on Trump's way out the door. Yeah, Jim Shorts Jordan was one of those. I think this is going to be fun to watch for a while. But I'm just really proud of the fact that we got to it first. As Lee said, it's not that you're ahead of the curve, is that they get the topics from you. Yeah, let's keep her nice and desperate. Don't ever tell her. Yeah. But, you know, Andrew Weissman said basically everything that we said here yesterday. And one wonders, because there's a certain coercive power in a criminal charge. Not even a certain coercive power. It's an awesome coercive power. And I almost, dare to dream. We've been talking about dare to dream for a long time here. And I'm daring to dream of a scenario where Rudy has to walk back into the building where he used to be the U.S. District, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, back before he was America's mayor, you know, when he was philandering in Gracie Mansion. And some eager young up-and-comer looks at him and says, okay, here's the deal. Got you dead to rights on multiple counts, and you'll spend the rest of your life in prison, but you can mitigate that a little bit, America's mayor. Yeah, and all you gotta do, and maybe he'll look down at his manicured fingernails and see if there's any schmutz under him. All you gotta do, Rude, is roll on your boy Nitwit Nero. We already know about your half of the pardon dangling. You sober today, Rudy? Can you take an oath and promise that, you know, you didn't start getting liquored up with a little bit of scotch under your cornflakes this morning, Rudy? You're sober? Good. Need you to be sober for this, Rudy. You give us Nitwit Nero, and we'll give you a downward departure. You remember what those are, don't you, Rudy? Downward departures. That means less time in the joint. Because, Rudy, they're going to love you in the joint. And I don't know if you're going to be able to keep your stash of Viagra that you pop like Tic Tacs going there. Please see the aforementioned phrase, awesome coercive power. Flavio, in the course of all of this, says, the American justice system takes way too long. In many other countries, Giuliani, Bannon, Flynn, Trump et al. Would have done time by now. Instead, all these crooks, by dint of their money, their power, their guile, or whatever, are out there, still at large, and still mocking us. Well, you know, there are other countries, Flavio, where Rudy would just be taken out behind a building and problem solved. But while that has a certain cachet, it's not... Well, when the framers sat down in 1787, things were fresher in their minds than they are to us now, 230-some-odd years later. They could remember things like courts of Star Chamber. And they could remember things like bills of attainder and ex post facto laws, all of which happened in merry old England at one point or another. And they felt like no matter how bad things might get, that they really didn't want those things. And so they got all, and remember, the framers who put the Constitution together were by and large a group of rich white guys, any one of whom, if you recall the line, I think it's from Raymond Chandler, who referenced, or maybe he picked it up from someone else, you know, behind every great fortune is a great crime. And they knew that they were rich old white guys, and they knew that things could go south for them in a real hurry, so maybe they didn't want to have a hurry-up criminal process built in. And then again, if Mother England ever came calling again, deciding that she wanted to drag us back into the fold, that we hadn't gone completely off the rails and abandoned it, right. Because bills of attainder and courts of Star Chamber and ex post facto laws had pretty much gone by the wayside. Randy Radar wants to know, what is a bill of attainder? The long and the short of what is a bill of attainder is, a bill of attainder is a bill passed by a legislative body that just makes you being you illegal. It's a legislative body saying, you know, we really hate you, and so we want to convict you of something, and we're just going to, and so you're illegal, and that's why you get lines in, for instance, the clause about impeachment that says there shall be no treason. Treason shall not work a corruption of the blood, because that was another thing that happened in merry old England. Say a wealthy duke or earl or oil of cloves or quarter of ten backed the wrong horse in one of the several civil wars. And having backed the wrong horse, when it was all over, had his head separated from his body. But not only that, it would work corruption of the blood so that that person's kid nor grandkid nor could ever hold a position of honor and distinction and dignity. So that's by no means a dictionary definition of a bill of attainder, Randy Radar, but it's close enough for our purposes. Did I mention that other countries are democracies, too? You cannot make excuses. Other democracies move faster. Bannon, Flynn, et al. Would not have podcasts, says Flavio. Whether they're a democracy or not is a matter of opinion, just like saying our democracy here in the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Amen. More aspirational than operational. But they also don't have the system, the legal system that we have, which is, goes back to Flavio's point that he thinks it is too slow here. It's only slow for some, not for others. Now, if you're a poor guy and you've been busted for having some crack cocaine in your pocket, and you're busted on the streets of New York and sent to Rikers Island, justice can be very slow for you. Hell, it can be very slow on a number of charges, and you can sit there and rot for... There are cases of people just sitting in Rikers for years without ever being brought to trial. And that's violative of so many constitutional principles. But there wasn't enough money to access justice. I think at the end of the day, Flavio, what you are most perturbed by is the degree to which money can access delay. Money can access speed. Money can access just about anything in the American judicial system, because the American judicial system is an American capitalist judicial system, which means that it, like everything else, runs on money, just like our political system is a political capitalist system. Capitalism tends to corrupt, and absolute capitalism corrupts absolutely, to paraphrase. There's a great scene in one of the recent episodes of season 3 of Ted Lasso, no spoiler, where Ted's young son Henry has come to spend time with his dad, and so he's showing him his football world there at AFC Richmond, and he turns him over to the kit man for a little bit, who teaches him, Will teaches him a little bit what he does as the kit man. And at one point in time, he starts a stopwatch to see how quickly Henry can get towels into the lockers, and the three adult men are standing behind the glass, and one says, "Is this fun or child labor?" And another character says something along the lines of, "In late stage capitalism, is there really any difference? I actually had to rewind that a couple of times because the dialect can get so thick on that program that I have to hear it a couple of times for, "Oh, that's what they said." Yeah. Which is another one of those things that endears me to it. And the next-to-last episode of Ted Lasso will land on Apple TV Plus tonight. And hopefully after the conversation with Appalachian Power and the upload, Annette and I will watch that. She's been not at all plussed by the third season. I have a different opinion. Lee in New York says, bill of attainder. I get it. Like the Republican legislators' bills against trans people. I wasn't going to say it because I was trying to keep that out of the broadcast, but since you did, Lee, yes, exactly. You did everything according to law, and now we're going to say that everything... Yeah. Precisely. This is John in Central PA, not John in Maryland. John in Central PA says, Republican criminality. How are these people so open about their crimes that they skate on by? Maybe if we didn't have a fucking damp rag for an attorney general, we wouldn't have to worry about a Trump-Biden matchup, which seems to be a foregone conclusion. Okay, let me take that one. I think, John, and you have no idea, I'm going to have to gargle and shower and bathe and with bleach after the program for what I'm about to say. I think you kind of want a Trump-Biden matchup. I think we do. We talked about this earlier. You do not want a Trump-monkey-up matchup. A Biden-monkey-up matchup. It might be fun to watch those two beat the snot out of each other, Trump and monkey-up, in the primary. But he's enough of a demagogue, monkey-up is, and he's infinitely more intelligent, you have no idea how it galls me to say that, than Nitwit Nero is, that if this country were ever in his clutches, this country may not recover. And no matter how good a job Joseph Robinette Biden has done as president, and I tend to think he has, he is the most progressive president we have had since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, even though he is far from ideologically pure enough, I'm sure, and there are things to complain about. It may need to be, and we always need a Star Trek reference for every program, it may need to be Kirk versus Khan again. You keep shooting, and you keep missing the mark. He tasks me,
and I shall have him.
God, I'm so ashamed sometimes. But you may not want Biden squaring off against anybody else. Now, as for the fucking damp rag of an attorney general, I'm going to give you a cowbell just for the descriptive power of that phrase. And I have been less than kind to Merrick Garland in the past, and rightfully so, I do think. But I'm coming around to the idea of thinking that he may know what he's doing. I'm going to go this far and say that he has probably, as a judge on the D.C. Circuit, who should have been sitting on the Supreme Court, quite frankly, we should have a 5-4 breakdown in the Supreme Court right now, and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch shouldn't even be anywhere near it, or else he'd be on it, but Brett wouldn't, and of course the handmaid would, because Nitwit Nero had to replace RBG with someone who was the anti-RBG. But the point is to say that I think Merrick Garland has probably forgotten more law and more procedure and more federal criminal procedure and federal rules of evidence and federal rules of civil procedure than we will ever even know. So what is moving at the pace that the system insists that it move at. And Garland is an institutionalist, as they like to say. And the guy you want to watch out for is the guy who doesn't have a lot to say in the midst of a conflict, but instead who just goes out and in workmanlike fashion does the job and busts the ass. Compare the pronouncements of Merrick Garland with the pronouncements of Nitwit Nero. Who has thus far had greater success? See what I mean? So, I get the frustration. Jack Smith is out there. If I were Nitwit Nero, I would be blowing through depends at rates heretofore never seen. Because remember, we know from past disclosures that, well, a lifetime of blow and Adderall has worked its wrath upon multiple parts of the system of Nitwit Nero. We're getting perilously close to taking a running shot at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. I'm kind of glad I didn't eat before the program. But I hope you get my meaning, John, in Central PA. And this seems to have stirred a little bit of discussion. Stephen, New York, federal prosecutions. All this has really made me think the following. There is so much criming and civiling that I think it is beginning to overwhelm federal and state departments of justice, or whatever each state calls it. Every day we hear DOJ should investigate this or that. This is not even a trickle of criming and civiling. It's a damn spigot. I'd go for fire hose. And in fact, Tara and I talked about this a little bit when we were covering for Malloy. And Steve, we did too on the last Friday on the front porch. Flooding the zone come to mind, and it's a tactic both sides have used. If you on the civil disobedience side of things, if you get more people arrested than the system can cope with, you can wreck the system. And frankly, a good example of that, not in terms of civil disobedience, but in terms of domestic terror attacks on the government of the United States, January 6th. We know that there were 12,000 or more people, by some numbers, some estimates that we've seen in the past. We know there are more than 12,000 people participating at one level or another in all of that. And the vast majority of them will never be touched. There were people at the rally in Washington, D.C. who will not be charged. I don't even know if the people that were identified by law enforcement who were sitting in trees with semi-automatic rifles with sniper scopes on them were even so much as upbraided for bringing rifles into the district. But to that extent, I think you're correct, Steve. It is a damn spigot. And the same thing applies to the bills being introduced in the Floridas and Talabamas and Texas stands, whatever, in regard to everything from DEI to the LGBTQ community to books. There's just so damn much that it may overwhelm the system, and some of them will slip by, and, you know, people like Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who only became governor the first time with the actual help of real live, no kidding Nazis, will get to one degree or another to have his little fascist bills that divert everyone's attention away from what a shitty job he's doing as actual governor. Florida is in a downward spiral in terms of how that state government serves its people. You know, anybody but the top 3%. Its education numbers are going through the floor. It has one of the worst long-term... You know, there it is. The oldest population in the state has the worst long-term care numbers in the country. So the old gag about Florida being God's waiting room is true, and the waiting room is getting more and more like Carousel in Logan's Run. Capricorn, 34-21. Carousel awaits. Come on, Emery. Okay, Marveline. Let's go fly in the carousel. Zap! I said earlier, based on an article in, I think, Time that I read, posted this on Facebook, it's almost like Ron Monkey Up Duclantis is trying to turn Florida into West Virginia with more hurricanes and less mountains. And I swear if he starts showing up at public appearances with a morbidly obese bulldog in tow, we'll know whose idea he's stealing. As I said, Biden's the most progressive since FDR. Steve said, I completely disagree. I think Biden is the most progressive president ever. President Biden never built concentration camps. True that. He just hasn't. I was thinking more in terms of Social Security. He's more progressive than LBJ, for sure. And LBJ was relatively progressive. Suman said, I don't know about dinner in the Eastern time zone, but these grapes and jaggery shall remain untouched until certain visual thoughts about depends have passed. darn it. So I'm ruining, not only I'm taking a run at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, I've taken a whack at the Pacific Daylight Time Zone snack. Oh, if I've done that to you, Suman, what have I done to poor Billable Rick? John in Central PA says, oh yes, I agree with you, Robin. DeSantis is like darkly cynical, just an evil fuck, and so unlikable, too. And there's video of him out. Jesus. Purporting, he's trying to show himself being human. There was a time when we all had a lot of fun with what came to be known in 2012 as the Romney bot. Ha! 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 My friends! Ha! Ron Monkey Up Duclantis makes the Romney bot look positively human. Now, let me see if I can scrounge up that clip. It was some sort of event. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Stand by. Monkey Up was at a some sort of an event. I mean, that's really all that you can say. Benjamin Dixon tweeted this with the observation, the charisma of a Borg, and I think that's really being unfair to the Borg. Resistance is futile. In this case, Ron Monkey Up Duclantis is just nauseating. Yeah, you don't even. This is just glad handing, okay? The kind of political glad handing. The star fuckers are standing around and they're thrilled to be in the presence, and you get this.
That was nice. How much is that worth?
Where were you talking?
That was nice. How much is that worth?
Where were you talking?
And he does, he leans backward and claps once, and his mouth is wide open, and he looks like some sort of animatronic thing that didn't make the cut at Disney. God. Okay, I did it. Billable Rick says, Robin, thanks for ruining my Taco Tuesday lunch. Oh, late lunch. And apropos of nothing, but just to get this in here because we got this information today. The guy who started shooting in Farmington, New Mexico, was Bo Wilson. Bo Wilson was a high school student in Farmington, New Mexico. The chief of police there said that Bo Wilson's murder rampage were entirely, purely random and had no specific targets or motives that the police can identify at this time. Interestingly, he was a high school student, but the coverage via Reuters that I'm looking at says that, and this is a quote from the article, Wilson was staying at an address in the neighborhood where the shootings took place, but there is nothing to indicate he knew any of the victims. The choice of that phrase, staying with, as opposed to lived at, is a bit of a clue. He had turned 18, so I guess he was street legal. And so, you know, just another disaffected American teenager, another disaffected American teenage male with a gun. He's legally an adult, so another disaffected American teenage man with a gun who bought the AR-15 type rifle that he used to unleash the hail of Second Amendment freedom. He bought it a month after he turned 18 in October 2022. On the other hand, he is thought to have gotten two of the other firearms he used in the murder spree from family members. Reuters using the verb obtained two other firearms from family members. But the operative here is that an 18-year-old disaffected male who ended the universe for three innocent individuals and maimed six others was that problem child of the American Constitution, and particularly of the National Rifle Association. He was, in fact, a lawful gun owner. Now, generally speaking, New Mexico doesn't allow anyone under age 19 to have a handgun. Nothing in there about an assault rifle made for primarily for battlefields, but here we are. And of course, New Mexico's gun laws are exceedingly lax. Wonder if they'll do anything about that. As Stephen New York points out, and there's reason to, the password is incel. I think we always have to take that into consideration with any cases like this. Let's get a look at that browser history. Let's see if he's been going to 4chan. But then again, why bother? Because if you said, you know, these people are being weaponized and radicalized on 4chan, maybe we should do something about 4chan, immediately a hue and cry would go up from the Republicans, but not only the Republicans, but the First Amendment! I swear to God, I think if we had a website that was nothing but that spinning black and white hypnotic spiral, with subliminal audio in it that said, commit a mass shooting, commit a mass shooting, commit a mass shooting. We'd be screaming First Amendment about it, even though it's a clear and present danger and subject to prior restraint. But I thought that deserved mention. And I mentioned earlier book banning. Well, let's do. Why not? Let's go back to Florida. By the way, we are at the top of the hour, the beginning of the second hour of the program. John and Marilyn's challenge is on the table. And we have knocked out $100 of it. 200 more to go. If folks would like to help out, then, you know, we can get the AEP monkey off my back, which would be fantastic. Balmer Bob, Ron DeClantis. Balmer Bob says, Governor DeSantis makes Lawrence Harvey's Raymond Shaw character in The Manchurian Candidate seem almost lovable. I can almost hear DeSantis supporters say, Ron DeSantis is the kindest, bravest, warmest, most wonderful human being I've ever known in my life. Hey, Ron, why don't you play some solitaire? Good God, Angela Lansbury was just so... I mean, in that film, in The Manchurian Candidate, honest to God, Angela Lansbury is Sauron evil, okay? I think she might be more evil than Sauron. Ah! Bob, just a mere mention of The Manchurian Candidate. But it's a good thing this isn't video. I'd be zooming the camera in on the goosebumps that are running up my arm. Woo! That character... back to the Romney bot for a minute. Brother Deacon Asa says, come on, woman. The worst we could dig up on Romney was bankrupting Clear Channel and strapping his dog Seamus to the roof of his station wagon while taking a Christmas vacation in the snow belt. Meanwhile, Ron DeSatan's making queers illegal and loading up colored refugees in boxcars and sending them off to labor camps. There's no contest here. No, I was only commenting... breathe, Brother Deacon. I was only commenting on the animatronic nature of his personality. Honest to God, I think there's old grainy, well, not that grainy. The cinematographers there were pretty good, Leni Riefenstahl and all. There are pictures of Adolf Hitler going into a belly laugh. And if you set it side by side with that clip of Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, and I hate to say this, Hitler is less off-putting. And I don't mean that in any kind of being nice about it way. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis is just, ugh. But he's got the same... And speaking of which, down in Florida, the Florida Department of Education, or should I say Ron Monkey Up DeClantis's pet Florida Department of Education, has declared unacceptable two proposed textbooks that were focused on the Holocaust. The Educational Review Committee of Ron Monkey Up DeClantis's pet Department of Education has rejected a textbook named Modern Genocides and another textbook called History of the Holocaust. Because of woke brainwashing. And his pet Department of Education also is out there on an absolute crusade against critical race theory. And is now considering banning colleges, which is where critical race theory is taught in master's degree programs, but banning any college receiving state funding from teaching critical theory. Oh, I guess critical theory. I guess that means critical feminist theory too. A little fascist by the name of Manny Diaz Jr., the education commissioner, gave a quote in a press release saying, "To maintain our exceptional standards, we must ensure that our students and teachers have access to the highest quality materials available, materials that focus on historical facts and are free from inaccuracies or ideological rhetoric." This might be a good time to point out that Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis' education system there in Florida is, as the old saying goes, sucking hind tit. And it's not even close. Teachers in Florida public schools are paid the lowest salaries of almost any state in the union. And Florida spends less money per capita on public education than any blue state in the union. Really? And this is not education itself, but it's telling. A lot of people, and this is how Florida gets the moniker of God's waiting room, a lot of people grow tired of northern winters. They weary of fear as they age of, you know, falling and breaking an ankle or a hip or a knee, bashing their head on a slippery sidewalk. And yet, life expectancy in the state of Florida is lower than any blue state to the north of Florida. Overall life expectancy. In 2020, Florida is 49th for average teacher pay. How's that? According to a report in 2021, Florida has the 7th lowest per pupil funding in the entire United States. Florida is big and rich, and yet they only come in 23rd. For overall public schools. Monkey Up is, in fact, gutting Florida for the benefit of his wealthy donors. Pure and simple. And yet, hope remains. Steve in New York pointing out, DeSantis messed with the mouse. I do not like Disney. I do not like Hornets. I know enough not to mess with either. Look at this big old hornet's nest. I'm going to go get a broom handle and hit it. We had real world experience with that many years ago. When and as a parent, and your boy comes in and says, I want to go whack that hornet. No, leave. Leave the poor little hornets alone. They're not bothering you. Don't you bother them, or they will bother you. Leave that to the Confederates next door, which they did. Oh, dear God. Ron, Rob, DeClantis, DeSanctons. Christopher in Oregon says, jeepers, it just hit me where I'd seen Monkey up before. He must have escaped from Chuck E. Cheese, where he performed as the bass player. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. Spinning spirals don't kill people. People kill people. When spinning spirals are outlawed, only outlaws will have spinning spirals. So, modern genocides, back to the another book ban in Florida, modern genocides, the textbook, was nixed, banned, because Manny Diaz Jr. and the FDOE, at the bidding of that little martinet, fascist martinet, DeClantis, it got the axe because of special topics covered in the book that are forbidden by Florida. Because modern genocides actually mentions social justice and, of course, critical race theory. And even if an intelligent discussion of modern genocides would include those ideas, they will not be included in Florida. Then there's history of the Holocaust. They said history of the Holocaust failed to meet state requirements for its instruction on its subject matter. Huh. History of the Holocaust. Gee, who else was included in the Holocaust? Because there were lots of groups in Nazi Germany that the Nazi Germans didn't like and wanted to exterminate. The largest number of those people were, of course, Jews. But they wanted to exterminate the Roma, too, formerly referred to by the term gypsies, which is no longer appropriate or accurate. And then there were the gender nonconformists. So just as they were erased in Germany, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis wants a Holocaust history that erases them in Florida, too. How about that? Kind of saw that coming from a mile away, too. And then there was a book, and it all gets so complicated. We saw this coming decades past, when school systems would run afoul of the law because of their determination to violate the Establishment Clause and bring religion into schools. One of the ways that the religion industry tried to get around it was say, well, we'll teach the history of religion. We'll teach the Bible as literature. Remember? Well, here we are. So there was a book that was proposed and intended to be used in grades 6 through 8 in Florida about the, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. You know, everything but Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, etc., the New Testament. Oh, there's that first rumble of thunder. And the Florida Department of Education told them to take their book on the Hebrew Bible back and fix it. Because the Florida Department of Education was put off by the fact that the textbook asks the question, what social justice issues are included in the Hebrew Bible? Well, this did not sit well with the Florida Department of Education. They wanted social justice concerns replaced by the term key principles. To be quite blunt, a lot of the better parts of the Torah, among other things, has to do with how the Jewish people addressed questions of inequality and injustice. For instance, not mistreating the stranger. You know, don't shit on the foreigners because you were once strangers in a strange land, Egypt, paraphrasing. And whether or not it's legal, whether one has breached the commandment against theft, if one is starving to death and has to steal food to survive. Those are social justice issues. Or the fact that, as a lawsuit filed against the state of Florida noted, Jewish theology says abortion's okay. Because it says quite clearly that a baby is a baby only after it takes the first breath of life. Hint, there aren't any breaths of life in the womb. All the air, all the oxygen, all the nutrients, all the blood is being supplied through the cord, through the umbilicus, within the confines of the placenta. The fetus is not in there smoking a cigar and playing pinochle, okay? You know, but no, we can't include the word social justice, even though that's exactly what it was. You don't get much more fascist than that. Which brings me to something that I thought we should probably go over this evening. There's a document from the from a UK organization called the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. So you know that this is not something that somebody just sparked up a blunt and came up with. The 10 stages of genocide. There's even at this website, hmd.org.uk, there's even a PDF of the 10 stages of genocide that can be printed as a poster. Might be handy. The 10 stages of genocide, as identified by scholars who are actually well informed upon the topic, are as follows. 1. Classification. The differences between people are not respected. There's a division of us and them, which can be carried out using stereotypes or excluding people who are perceived to be different. Hmm. 2. Symbolization. This is a visual manifestation of hatred. Jews in Nazi Europe were forced to wear yellow stars to show that they were different. queers in Nazi Europe were forced to wear pink triangles to show that they were different, too. I added that part. 3, discrimination. The dominant group denies civil rights or even citizenship to identified groups. The 1935 Nuremberg laws stripped Jews of their German citizenship, made it illegal for them to do many jobs or to marry German non-Jews. 4, dehumanization. Wait, I think I got something here. Yep, there it is. Dehumanization. Those perceived as different are treated with no form of human rights or personal dignity. During the genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda, Tutsis were referred to as cockroaches. The Nazis referred to Jews as vermin. And, why, look, it's North Carolina Republican gubernatorial nominee Mark Robinson. He's not the nominee yet, but he is the front runner. And people have been taking a long, hard look at Mark Robinson. We've talked about him on this program in the past. And Mark Robinson, remember, where were we on the stages of genocide there? Yeah, dehumanization. Mark Robinson, whom far too many people in North Carolina stand will actually vote for, went off in 2017 Well, let's just let Mark Robinson speak for himself. Don't worry, there's no audio. July 27th, 2017, Mark Robinson on Facebook, he is the lieutenant governor of North Carolina right now, wrote, "I've made jokes, memes, and quick quips about this transgender issue, but there is a very serious aspect to the transgender movement that Christians must be aware of. Gender, and the creation thereof by God, is the basis for the survival of humanity. God created two genders, not 264. See, it used to be they said God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Now they're off on the number of genders. Male and female created he them, created them he. If you look across the spectrum of those who support this mass delusion called transgenderism, you will find a conglomeration of atheists, quasi-Christian humanists, the downright ignorant who are simply following the crowd, and the downright wicked who are simply following the devil." Sometimes I miss my reverb. "The downright wicked are those who are pushing the and controlling this movement at its roots. The same disciples of Satan who pushed," here comes the list, "free love, radical feminism, and..." There we are. "Homosexuality are the same..." Let's go back. Let's go back to the list. "Those perceived as different are treated with no form of human rights or personal dignity. During the genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda, Tutsis were referred to as cockroaches. The Nazis referred to Jews as vermin. The same disciples of Satan who pushed free love, radical feminism, and homosexuality are the same black-hearted haters of Christ who are pushing transgenderism. They understand, even better than most Christians, that to destroy the foundation of a godly society, the God-designed family of father, mother, and children must be torn asunder, more asunder than David and Solomon did when they each had 700 or 900 or 1,500 wives." Sorry, I added that part. "That is what all these wicked machinations are designed for. The goal is to turn God's creation backwards and make it into a sickening image of rebellion to glorify Satan. Christians must not be fooled by this movement or by false philosophies such as love is love and do not judge, which frequently excuse it. Christ calls us to be wise in our discernment and make our judgments accordingly. And the Bible tells us exactly what love is and how God designed love to be expressed between a man and a woman. In His Word, there is no in-between. No gray area, no confusion. If transgenderism continues to spread in the world, there will be no in-between or gray area either. Only darkness. Looks like Mark Robinson's got the part four, dehumanization, pretty much taken care of. Part 5, organization. Genocides are always planned. Regimes of hatred often train those who go on to carry out the destruction of a people. Mark Robinson has been trained, for he is a minister of the gospel, y'all. He's studied the Bible. He's been taught the Bible. Six, polarization. Propaganda begins to be spread by hate groups. The Nazis used the newspaper Der Stürmer to spread and incite messages of hate about Jewish people. Pretty sure they spread some messages of hate about the gender and sexuality clinic in Berlin, too. Seven, preparation. Perpetrators plan the genocide. They often use euphemisms such as the Nazi phrase, the final solution, transgenderism, to cloak their intentions. They create fear of the victim group. What was that? If transgenderism continues to spread in the world, there will be no in-between or gray area either, only darkness. They create fear of the victim group, building up armies and weapons. There are people in many of the several states who have no right to use a restroom, but other people have a right to go and buy a weapon of war. Number 8. Persecution. Victims are identified because of their ethnicity or religion, and death lists are drawn up. People are sometimes segregated into ghettos, deported or starved, and property is often expropriated. Genocidal massacres begin. They dropped a stitch there. It's not always just ethnicities. Not always just religion. And it wasn't in Germany either. But then again, look what Mark Robinson did. Quasi-Christian humanists. Black-hearted haters of Christ. Atheists! Somebody else used to rage on and on and on about the atheists, too. 9. Extermination. The hate group murders their identified victims in a deliberate and systematic campaign of violence. Millions of lives have been destroyed or changed beyond recognition through genocide. True. And finally, 10. Denial. The perpetrators or later generations deny the existence of any crime.
We were only protecting sacred family values as handed down by God.
Now, here's the interesting discussion point. Where are we on this? I think Holocaust Memorial Day Trust needs to do a little better job with this list. They need to add ethnicity or religion or sexuality or gender. Because in some of the spaces that I visit, there are active conversations taking place. Because everybody who's paying attention has this list on hand. Where are we on this list? I've spent more time with this list than I really wish I had. And it looks like we are at stage 8. You know, Steve earlier said, you know, Biden hasn't built any death camps, any concentration camps. And Steve is referring, of course, to the internment of Japanese Americans, absolutely undeniably loyal Americans who were rounded up and put in concentration camps merely for their ethnicity. And if you think back to Club Q in November of 2022, what's it say on 9? The hate group murders their identified victims in a deliberate and systematic campaign of violence. The only thing missing is the systematic part. But I guarantee you, if you went and wandered around some of the seedier parts of the internet, you would find out that the systematic part is already being discussed and contemplated. The Nazi accelerationists who took out the power grid in Moore County, North Carolina, were certainly systematic. The people, and they've not been caught, but the people, the Nazis who were caught, who were planning attacks on power stations around the country, they were systematized. Are y'all hearing the thunder yet? Wow, that actually kind of fit within the overall discussion, didn't it? So, maybe go find that list. Or, I tell you what, maybe what I'll do is I'll put it on my Facebook page, if you'd like. And you can go, you can print it out, you can study it, you can make notes on it. But, you know, when you're down to referring to someone who is simply trying to live their life as a, what is it, black-hearted hater of Christ, and declaring who and who is not Christian, when, much to my, how do I describe this? Much to my amazement, I run across trans guys, trans women, and non-binary people out on the internet who are dedicated and devoted Christians. I run across them who are dedicated and devoted Muslims, dedicated and devoted Jews. Don't understand it, but don't challenge their right to be that way. I just can't. But I dare say that any of those are far better Christians than anything that Mark Robinson in North Carolina will ever be. Talk about a dark-hearted hater of Christ. When you're running around screaming about your fellow human beings who are doing precisely nothing to you, oh, wait, they're going to turn God's creation backwards. And this might sound like prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. It really isn't. This is about understanding what American fascism looks like. Because far too many people have thought wrongly, imagined wrongly, that fascism always looks and sounds and goose steps the same. It does not. Hutu fascism in Rwanda looked nothing like German fascism. Kind of sounded like it, but didn't look like it. And the old quote, that when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible. In 2023 is the absolute truth. A few programs back, we went over the list of who has the highest concentration of hate groups in the United States. And lo and behold, number one came in at Nebraska. Alabama was 20th. West Virginia was 7th. Idaho was in there somewhere. Montana was in there. Every Confederate state was in there. And we must understand these movements as quintessentially fascist. One of the biggest transphobic blatherers out there, we've talked about him before, Matt Walsh, if you look him up on Twitter, you will see that he describes himself as a theocratic fascist. Nick Fuentes, I haven't heard anything from Nick in a while, is a fascist. The dominant political party in Italy right now openly proclaims its fascism. Years since the Second World War, and it's no longer dirty to be a fascist. That's what all of this language is. Fascism. All of this language about groomers is fascism. The organizations that are pushing this agenda, the Alliance Defaming Freedom, is fascist in its nature. It has vast sums of corporate money, is in bed with the most virulently hateful forms of religion, and seeks to take power over government. It is no coincidence that the Alliance Defaming Freedom is the law chop shop grift, tax exempt, of course. That is not just behind attacks on the trans community and the LGBTQ plus community largely. It's also the same grift that's behind attacks on women's reproductive rights. Because they are all part of the same fascist impulse. Taking away self-determination from any group deemed not to be the dominant fascist group is part and parcel of the plan. Is it not? So it just... From the Holocaust books being rejected to the stages of fascism to black-hearted haters of Christ, well, this was a segment that just kind of wrote itself. And it's not just that. There's a little bitty lily white town in Ohio, Alida, Ohio, that has just convinced its small town to reject a $300,000 tax levy to rebuild their crumbling schools. They convinced voters to do that because the school board follows the education department policy of the Biden administration and refuses to ban trans kids from restrooms. In line with what we were just talking about, these barking, braying, grunting, bleeding, ignorant freak parents, elite of parents against bathroom policy, said that that letting trans kids use the restroom is Luciferian. See the aforementioned list. They also spread the cat libel that people are that students are insisting they be referred to as cats and that they have litter boxes in the restrooms. When we learned to our horror not long back, I had thought it was just made up out of whole cloth, but it's not. The litter box thing. There are some schools that have litter boxes. You know why? Because those schools don't have restrooms in individual classrooms. Single use, you know, one holer restrooms. They don't have them. So they will have a litter box in there with kitty litter in it in anticipation of the day that the children have to cower and hide because the Second Amendment has broken loose inside their particular school, and the children are having to shelter in place, fearing for their lives. And by the way, interesting things can happen with the bowel and bladder when one is scared for one's life, especially when one is a little child. That is where the litter boxes come from. But don't tell the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing goons who pick their teeth with their own toenail clippings in Alida, Ohio. They passed around a flyer. They made up lies. Alita schools are now removing the titles of Mr. and Mrs. from the classroom placards outside various classrooms. Another one said, I'm hoping this meeting will not only address transgender, but also kids who think their dogs are cats. And then a freak showed up. A local physician by the name of Dr. Robert Neidich. N-E-I-D-I-C-H, who stood up and spoke to the mouth-walking knuckle breathers and said, we're living in a time of moral depravity and clearly increasing spiritual battles between good and evil and ideologies such as a boy can become a girl or a girl can become a boy if they cut off a body part. Dangerous ideologies. President Biden's guidelines are nauseating and Luciferian. It's obviously written by bureaucrats that have a social engineering agenda to change what God made into something else. Other speakers, well, yeah, every kid being able to use the restroom when they need to is, what'd they call it? Yeah, anti-Christian, detrimental to children. One parent went so far as to say that gender nonconforming kids should just be put in diapers and sent to school. Whew. that's America in 2023, but could just as easily as be Germany in 1933. Hey, just 90 years ago. What about that? Yeah, Jeremy says, yep, just heard the thunder. Adding, isn't Lucifer the morning star, the literally the last star that comes into visibility before our own star and ends our night daily? Lucifer is a Latinization of whatever the Hebrew word was. And Lucifer, it's a, lux is the Latin word for light. And facio facere feci factum is the verb form of to do or to make. So Lucifer is the maker of light. Hence the name of our precious little torty cat, Lucifer. She is the purrer of light. So we kind of hit a bit of a stall on John and Marilyn's Keep It Lit challenge. We are at $200, and 20 people with $10 would solve that, and I'd make sure the power bill got paid. Or any combination thereof. It would be great. This is, to the best of my knowledge, this is John's first challenge, so please don't disappoint him. If you can, do not hurt yourself. If you can. Let's see. I'm just trying to tick off stories so that I don't wind up... Yeah. Okay. Let's get this out of the way. Because everybody was like, oh! When it landed. This will only take a second. This just needs some background music. There it is. Didn't have to type more than two letters. Get this queued up. Get past the ad. Slow dance.
Our little boy is 4 years old and quite a little man.
Mm-hmm.
So we spell out the words we don't want him to understand.
Sing it, Tammy.
Like T-O-Y or maybe S-U-R-P-R-I-S-E. But the words we're hiding from him now tear the heart right out of me. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes mine of the day. Me and little J-O-E will be going away. I love you both and this will be pure H-E-double-L for me. Oh, I wish that we could stop this D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Watch him smile, he thinks it's Christmas or his fifth birthday.
You know, you really shouldn't play a song like that unless you got some beer to cry in. Well, I queued it up for a very good reason. Another fine, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican, family marriage, family values marriage has gone the way
of all flesh. Yes. It hardly seems like yesterday when Jason Bobert was whipping out his dick at a bowling alley to show an underage girl the tattoo that she'd heard about that he had on it. They almost made it to 20 years, the bobblehead and the little head. Now, bear in mind, the clanny granny has a history of saying things like, strong families are the foundation of American society. Well, in a written statement issued today, she said that she and Jason, well, are going to get a divorce. And they're now going to be a broken family. And she's going to be a single grandma to a son who fathered a child on a young girl who was, oh, what's it say on certain internet sites? Barely legal! No. Clanny Granny said, it is with a heavy heart weight on my heart that I filed for divorce from my husband. I'm grateful for our years of marriage together and for our beautiful children, all of whom deserve privacy and love as we work through this process. You know what? I don't think you need... This sounds more like a confession than... Maybe if you'd had somebody edit this first, Lore. I've always been faithful in my marriage, and I believe strongly in marriage, which makes this announcement that much more difficult. This is truly about irreconcilable differences. I do not intend to discuss this matter any further in public out of respect for our children, and will continue to work hard to represent the people of Colorado's 3rd Congressional District. Lore, you have a problem, hon. The same people who sent you to Congress think that you're probably a whore for getting a divorce. You know, they buy... Because, you know, Jesus said, don't do that. Don't ever, 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 ever do that. At all. But damn it, the media just can't let things go. Jason Bobert pleaded guilty to public indecency and lewd exposure after allegedly exposing himself to two girls at a bowling alley in January 2004. In her book, Bobert wrote that Jason never displayed his genitals, but he acted like he was going to unzip his pants. Bobert wrote that Jason needed the alcohol and anger management classes that came with the plea deal in the indecent exposure case. And, of course, last month she found out she was getting primaried by a Republican who referred to her as puerile. Boyish? This is one of those moments that all that Latin comes in handy. Puer is boy. Puella is girl. I think Lore got misgendered. Of course, the candidate said that she's also not terribly informed. What's happening to American family values? You know what probably caused this? The transgenders getting married to each other. Or, you know, maybe because it's almost too much to resist, maybe she caught Jason on the Pornhub or the X hamster looking at that kind of porn.
I know. Of course, it wouldn't be the first time that happened in an evangelical church. I really think putting in, I've always been faithful in my marriage, that feels like trying to get out in front of something. Like having been caught romping with a lobbyist. Or maybe another member of Congress, who knows? I believe strongly, yeah, she believes it strongly in marriage and she'll probably be remarried in a couple of weeks. Of course I wore white! And she's not going to discuss it in public anymore because she has respect for her children. At least one of whom is busy having children. Well. Yeah, that's the problem with these heterosexual marriages. Half of them end in divorce. It's horrible. Horrible. Yay, says Ralphs. Lauren Boebert's getting a divorce and her husband called out the dogs when he was served the divorce papers. What? And Linky. Jason flipped out. No, he didn't flip that out. From Dead State, thank you, Ralphs. Lauren Boebert's soon-to-be ex-husband flips out and lets dogs loose when served with divorce papers. The Dead State story goes through the whole tawdry, utterly unbelievable statement. The divorce petition is some 46 pages long, because we always put the page count in the news stories now. And apparently she typed it herself because she says her marriage is irretrievable broken. Sweetie, that's an adverb. It's irretrievably broken. The petition was filed 5 days ago. And the Daily Beast said that Jason was caught off guard. Is that what we're calling it these days? When he was served. The affidavit that the Daily Beast got hold of said he chased away a process server while yelling profanities and let his dogs loose. Once he learned that he was being served with a dissolution of marriage papers, he was extremely angry, the process server wrote on the document that he had to return to the court. I tried to hand him the documents, but he did not take them. He started yelling and using profanities and told me that I was trespassing, that he was calling the sheriff's office. I told him I was leaving the documents on the chair outside the door. He closed the door and then let the dogs out. The process server went on to note that JJ was cleaning a gun and drinking a tall glass of beer, so much for that substance abuse training and anger management that Lore said he got. I wonder which of the two is the more, well, decent. Hell of a question, I know, but. Can't you imagine the conversation that led up to that decision? I know. Matt in San Francisco, console yourself. Easy there. Poor Lauren, Matt says. It's not easy to find a devoted flasher. I hope her future exposes her to all her hopes and dreams. Darn. Wonder who she's going to be seen sitting next to or canoodling with at the next CPAC or whatever little Clavern rally she attends. Yeah. Wow. Meanwhile, her mean girl nemesis, marginal trailer queen, had her own little freak out today in a Homeland Security hearing on left-wing violence. Because, well, she said in previous hearings that she didn't believe in right-wing extremism. She's never seen it. And then declared that the real white supremacists, I'm not going to subject you to her voice. The real white supremacists are people who support abortion since 20 million black babies have been aborted in America since Roe v. Wade. Oh, sounds like somebody's made friends with Velveeta King. And one of the expert witnesses at the hearing, a woman named Amy Spitalnik of Integrity First for America, actually just laughed at her. Good. Good. I guess that was when she brought up I don't know, we may have to go to the audio on that, but someone has been waiting forever and ever and ever on the stress line, and I'm trying not to make the same mistake I so often do make. Hey, welcome to the program.
You realize, of course, Robin, that talking all this religious bullshit, you summoned me.
Was that? Oh, sorry.
This lieutenant governor, I have only one question. Since he is talking about the black-hearted, anti-Christian, blah, blah, blah. I'm wondering if he might be the human burrito that was mentioned a while back with Jesse Lee Peterson. I know I'm summoning.
Wait! Sorry, that was for human burrito. You can't expect me to just let that go by.
Well, and here's the thing. I think this Boebert divorce might be a happy occasion when it's over, because we might have a wedding in the capital, the United States. Yes, ma'am. Here's the thing. There was a wrestling match a month ago in a ladies' room. The House Chambers, I recall.
I recall this.
Contestants? It was Miss Representative Boebert and Miss Representative Green. And
time out. That's two. Stand by. That's it. Miss Representative Boebert and Miss Representative Green. That's going into the rotation, Dave.
I forget who their Democratic colleague was, but I now understand why she was there. Being a good God-fearing Republican, they needed an impartial referee as to figure out which one of them whooped whose ass. Now,
whooped.
I believe, Robin, that shortly after all the divorces are finalized and everything, I think these two are going to kiss and make up, and there might just be a long-distance marriage going on while they're both in the Congress, since neither one of them will want to move to the other state and give up their seat. So I do believe that we may soon see a, dare I say it, a Boebert Green wedding. And don't say that too loudly. They might think it's ecologically friendly and therefore Satanist. But,
wait, no, no, stop, wait, stop. Fall, I'll stop. It's a Green New Deal. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, and we've gotten three good jokes off without ruining anybody's dinner.
Can be done.
I'm trying, though I really am.
Didn't even get a cowbell for that. You're brutal.
Well, I can't nomination myself for that one. I'll leave that to the committee on cowbell to chime in.
Oh no, it's shitty cell service night on the horn. Put one arm in the air. Hold your tongue out just so. I don't want this to end. Aw, Dave, dang it.
What?
Okay, okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, okay. You're not breaking up now. You were breaking up.
Okay. It might be on your end with your cold-fried reception.
It's entirely possible. There's a thunderstorm. There's a thunderstorm passing through.
You're coming in loud and clear on my end.
Yeah. So you were, you were for a while, and then all of a sudden just... Yeah.
Well, I hope this is better.
It is now.
As far as the rejection of history books by the Florida, and I use the phrase lightly, Department of Education.
Yes.
I trained in college. I was in training to become a social studies teacher. Now, I look at these things and I say, I'm glad I am not in the profession. Because, by God, if it flies in Florida, it'll be in Indiana before we know it. Thank God my sister is active in the union. The teachers here have marched on the Capitol a couple of times. And that's one of the sticking points with my idiot little brother. He thinks Kathy's too liberal being a teacher and all. Of course, I neglect to remind him that if it weren't for teachers, he would never have gotten his commission in the United States Army. But we'll let that one pass for the moment. What scares me is the crossing of these lines. You talked about the different hate groups. There is a map that the Southern Poverty Law Center has called a Hate Watch map.
Yes.
It's on their website.
Yes.
You can go to your state, or even in some cases, I think your county. In Indiana, I found three hate groups they recognized. All of them were right-wing, Nazi-based hate groups. I mean, we're talking groups that were associated with the Aryan Brotherhood and things like that.
Nazi scum.
Yeah, and because of Indiana's unfortunate history with the Klan, which I'm a minor aficionado of that history. I'm seeing way too much of this crap repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself. And it has nothing to do with being aggrieved or economics or any other bullshit. It's that you get, when you get an open racist in office, in a position of prominence, then that gives permission to all the sewer dwellers to go, well, isn't it good to use that word again? You know?
Wouldn't surprise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a guy here in Indianapolis on the east side. He's got a don't tread on me flag. He's got the Hakenkreuz. He's got the Confederate battle flag of Northern Virginia flying.
Oh, lovely.
And you don't know how many times I've wanted to take a lighter to that little trio. I mean, as a public service, if nothing else. I mean, there is, on the east side of Indianapolis, a group of flag staff that have Confederate flags. It has the stars and bars. It's got everything but an actual American flag. And it's on private property. So the city's not going to do a damn thing. But it's gotten into a comedy video on YouTube. I'd have to look it up, but this guy ends up pretending to be a right-wing douchebag, and he ends up making fun of them brilliantly. And we need that, because they need to be seen as the idiots they are. It was one of the reasons, and I heard Werner Kempler talk about his role on Hogan's Heroes. And he said the understanding was that at no time would the German characters ever get over on Hogan and the boys.
And they never did.
And they never did. And he said the brilliant part about that was they made fun of the Nazis because it was there. And they didn't have to do a lot of work to make fun of them. Werner Kempler did that because when Austria was taken over, he was here in the United States with his family because his father was a prominent conductor who was on a tour of the United States. So he escaped. That's how he escaped the Holocaust. Leon Aishkin, the guy who played General Burkholder, lost his job because in Germany he was a Jew. And so did John Banner for that. And they left Germany because both Aishkin and Banner were German. They fled Germany, but to get exit visas, they had to pay the Nazis the next year's taxes in advance. I mean, and I'm seeing this kind of thought about in Republican circles. Well, if you've got funds overseas and, you know, we need to tax it, the repatriation and Okay. But if you do business outside the United States, you're going to need funds to operate. I mean,
true.
These guys are idiots, Robin. I'm busy. Hold on. I'm kind of busy, Cliff. I'll talk to you later. My neighbor.
Popular guy.
Every time that, every time there's a little blip on the radar, he's down. And I don't talk to you that often, so I'll
no.
Hear him.
Yeah.
Shortly.
Oh, by the way, I do need to send out thanks to Billable Rick for Green New Deal. Sorry for the belated cowbell, Billable says, but I was in the conference room brewing a cup of Joe. Bow down for your cowbell, Robin.
Okay, well, that's what, cowbell of the evening?
That's my, I don't
know. Come on, folks.
I don't get that many.
We can comedically do better than this.
Well, I also had a note a couple of minutes ago from someone who asked, hey, has there been any movement on John and Marilyn's Keep It Lit challenge? And no, we stalled it. We stalled at $200. So there's that.
Well,
that was not aimed. That was not aimed at you, Dave. That was not aimed at you. Don't. No, no, no. I'm just answering.
No.
I'm just answering the question.
I think we can reach that, Robin. I honestly do. Because if it's $10 at a time, one of the things I do to help out is when I send it in the last few months when I've sent money in, I check the boxes. Allows PayPal to bill me for the processing fee.
Right, yeah.
When I give you the $20, I pay the fee so you can use the whole $20.
Right, precisely, and I thank you. A lot of people do that.
And if you can do that, please do it. It'll make the funds that Robin gets go just a little bit further. And we have frayed enough shoestrings around these parts. That's one of the things I want to mention to people. You give the $20 and then Robin sees like 18 something of it.
Right.
You know? And that can make budgeting a real difficulty sometimes because we know our girl is not real good at ciphering on the fly.
If there's not a calculator involved, it's
well,
suspect.
No. Well, I'm surprised you don't have a Cray computer next to the Maybach and Gulfstream 5 to help you out there, Robin. I mean, come on. Get Cray on the horn and have him deliver one to the mansion.
It's not the worst idea, but
put it out there in the garden shed or something.
I get one of those water coolers. Sure.
Now with those big Cray computers though, Robin. To keep the temperature in the room at about the same level as the IQ of your average Republican, which is nearly freezing.
Yes.
So
colder even than an operating room. Yes.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Because those things do put out a lot of heat. And, when I was in high school and computers were just starting to be used in high schools, they got a VAX 11750, which is a old Air Force mainframe. that they got, I guess they got it in some surplus sale. And they actually had a mainframe computer in the high school to teach kids about computing. Now, this is back in the early 80s. So now they've got laptops that have more power than that old mainframe, but the idea that a state can dictate what will and will not be taught in colleges in I mean, is this going up to the graduate school level?
The article I looked at said higher education.
That covers a lot of things.
Well, it's anything after high school.
You know what, Robin? Some brave soul needs to write about this, get a few comments from the governor's office, and then sell it to me for $10 without registering with the state of Florida. You know where I'm going with this.
No, but yes, but flesh it out.
Okay. According to the law that requires bloggers to register with the state like they were sex offenders, there's a provision in the law that if the blogger gets paid for their work in reporting on or commenting on government officials in Florida, then they can be charged with a felony. Now, this on its face is a prior restraint on free speech and public comment on political matters, which the Supreme Court, when it was actually functioning, would have laughed it right out of the room. But now they gleefully go, yeah, you're right wing. Heil DeSantis. And put the rubber stamp on it. And the biggest cheerleader for that would probably be Pappy Thomas.
Probably not wrong.
Because his lord and master would love that kind of restraint. Because once you can restrain speech and criticism, it ain't that far until they line you up to herd you into the showers that ain't exactly showers. And that's not hyperbole, folks. I'm not saying that just to get a rise out of the right-wing douchebags who do listen to this program. Going, goddamn liberals? Fine. You don't like it, people? Fine. Then openly criticize me. I don't give a damn. But I am not going to go down without calling it the way it actually is. You claim this is a Christian nation when the founding white guys wanted nothing to do with it being a Christian nation because they had known what religious wars do. It was bad for business. And if nothing else, the Constitution is for the rich white guys, by the rich white guys, so they shall not perish from this earth.
Truth.
But truth. It's an adaptive document, and it's like Martin Luther King and all those people who marched, whose names most of us will never know. If it wasn't for those brave Americans, we wouldn't have a lot of the freedoms we have now. You get these right-wing douchebags that want to go back to the first 10 amendments, and that's it. Okay, ladies, that means they're willing to strip the vote from you. That also means that there'll be no checks on the raises of federal employees, including congressmen and federal judges. By the way, that was the last amendment to be ratified to the Constitution, and it was one of the first amendments proposed. And there have been over 255 amendments proposed. But only one has ever been approved and ratified. And only one has been successfully repealed.
Prohibition.
The 21st Amendment repealed prohibition. It's the only time an amendment to the Constitution of the United States was ever repealed.
I got a great idea for the next one.
Would that be Amendment 2?
You would be correct, sir.
Because I do believe that the Trumpian douchebags, you know, the ones that fondle their firearms and sing the Trumpaloo-yah chorus, would have a downright freaking hissy if we did that. But you don't see a prevalence of automatic weapons in, oh, let's say, Great Britain. You do see some pistols and some shotguns, but not the kind of automatic firepower you've got over here.
Great heavenly days now.
I mean, damn, I remember a case where two teenage boys beat a young boy to death and it shocked the nation over there. And for weeks, they breathlessly covered this case. In the United States, the same thing happens on a far more regular basis, and we don't even get a rise to the local news, let alone national coverage. There is something fundamentally wrong when the care and feeding of firearms is more important than the idea that fifth graders should grow up and become sixth graders or seventh graders.
Novel idea.
Or
now
graduate from high school. I mean, it's shocking. I remember when the leading cause of death among children were things like communicable diseases.
Yeah. You know, well, don't worry. Thanks to, don't worry, Dave. Don't worry. Thanks to the anti-vaxxers, that's a growth. That's a growth number.
Yeah, but Robin, it's going to be one of those questions. It's going to be the confuck me derby, because it's going to be between anti-vaxxers and the gun nuts as to who can kill more children. And after all, they're against abortion prior to birth, but afterward, oh, you're fucking on your own, kid. Sorry.
You're not wrong.
Because our firearms are more important than your life. We're protecting the children, my ass. Oh, God, the hypocrisy, Robin. If I had a dollar for every time bullshit artists.
Well, and here we are. This is fairly breaking news via the Associated Press an hour ago. Chief U.S. District Judge Renee Marie Bumb, B-U-M-B, in New Jersey, has imposed an injunction against a new handgun carry law in New Jersey. And
really?
Yeah, that law sought to prohibit weapons from being carried in what are referred to in the legislation as sensitive places, and did something that we've been talking about. And did, hold on. And did something that we've been talking about here for years, imposing an insurance mandate. So the law barred the lawful carry of firearms in places like within 100 feet of certain public gatherings, zoos, bars, and restaurants, and certain entertainment facilities. She apparently left in place the ban on carrying guns near schools, in schools, universities, or childcare facilities. But importantly, the New Jersey legislature and Governor Phil Murphy had signed legislation that requires firearm carriers, not owners, but people who want to tote their freedom protectors, they had to carry insurance. The judge said she found most of the law's permitting requirements consistent with the Second Amendment. Writing, this nation has historically disarmed dangerous individuals or individuals who could endanger the public with a firearm. With some exceptions, Chapter 131's firearm permitting scheme generally adheres to that historical tradition and aims to keep firearms out of the hands of those who could harm the public. See, that's the problem. That historical tradition language is the curse that was dropped upon us by the Bruin decision last summer. But then she said, what the Second Amendment prohibits the states from doing and what the state of New Jersey has done here is to prevent law-abiding citizens with ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their right to keep and bear arms. That plainly is unconstitutional. She is as full of shit as a Christmas goose. Meanwhile,
well,
one of the
Second Amendment has nothing to do with gun ownership.
One of the gun humpers, Scott Bach, of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Club, said, today's ruling deals a devastating blow to Governor Murphy's misguided law, trashing right to carry. Governor needs to see the handwriting on the wall and pivot from trying to block self-defense by law-abiding citizens to going after violent criminals instead. Yeah, the only problem is, Scott Bach, the law-abiding gun owners are the ones taking AR-15s and shooting up Farmington, New Mexico, or Uvalde, Texas, or Allen, Texas, or El Paso, Texas, Illinois. So a spokesman for Governor Murphy said the decision was misguided and erroneous, and they will seek an appeal of the order. The Attorney General of New Jersey is Matt Platkin, and he's already filed the appeal. So good for him.
He probably had the appeal on the pipes before she handed that down, just in case. You know, started out with the beginning. Now comes the, and you know, all the flowery 18th century stuff that comes with a petition to the courts.
Yeah.
And, if you want to have a chuckle someday, read through some of those and you're wondering, and why is the court considering this? Not even in a criminal proceeding, but we're talking a civil proceeding, you know, they get all highfalutin right about the middle of it, and it just boggles my mind that people have nothing better to do than prevent a government from saying, you got to have insurance on your car. You got to carry a certain amount of insurance in case something goes wrong. And
yeah, see, but Dave, there's a problem there, because the response of the gun humpers is always the same thing. Well, ain't no constitutional right to have a car. Well, I don't think there's a constitutional right to have a gun. I don't think there's a right to have a constitutional right to have a damn gun, because it says keep and bear, not own. And believe you me, if the framers of the Constitution understood one concept, it was owning things and people. They knew what title ownership meant. They knew what the simple title meant. They knew what absolute possession meant. And they chose not to use the word that signifies that. The drafters of the Second Amendment were not trying to be florid in their language. They were trying to craft something that made abundantly clear that people were not supposed to own guns, but rather to keep and bear them as part of a well-regulated militia. But when you think about the money that has probably flowed into the pockets of people like fat, dead Tony Scalia, and his son, by the way, fat, dead Tony Scalia's son is now suing, Baltimore Bob sent me this story last week. Fat, dead Tony's son is, of course, a pettifogger, too, and a right-wing POS. And he's busy suing a pension plan or a state, perhaps. I don't recall the particular details, because he says that the whoever the pension fund or the state is being mean to the fossil fuel industry by not investing money in them anymore. The apple falleth not far from the toxic tree.
I could see some interstate commerce arguments against his position, but because that's a business decision that has nothing to do with the government or the government's regulation of business. It's like me saying, if I owned a business, I don't want to do business with these entities because they've left a lot of toxic material on the grounds that the government's having to clean up, and I don't want to give them money. So if I can find a way around that while doing the business I need to do, I shouldn't be sued, because the biggest supplier of the widget that I want is a serial polluter. That makes absolutely no sense to me, that you would sue somebody for making the decision not to do business with some entity. And what it's really aimed at are states like California, where there's been movements for years. I remember when South Africa was still a minority-ruled country, and there were plenty of boycotts, and businesses and even investment funds were like, no, we're not going to carry gold stocks or diamond stocks, so that we don't run into a problem with dealing with the South African government. That's a business decision. It's called conscience investing. And
yes,
that appeals to a certain group of that is respectful of certain investors' moral quandaries Do I be doing business with this mutual fund because they're so heavily invested in South Africa? Well, now that's far less of a problem. But you also get people who say, if they've got stock in Colt or Winchester or some of these other firearms companies or ammunition companies, because you can't have firearms without the bullets to feed them. And who wants homeless and hungry firearms, Robin? I mean,
their little muzzles pressed up against the window panes.
You know, threatening to say something if you set 1 foot outside your door. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a shame that that there's so much concern about people getting gunned down multiple times in multiple places every day of the goddamn week. We've had more mass shootings than we've had days in this year.
Yes, we have.
But that's not a problem, according to the National Rubel Association and
no.
those further on the right.
No, it isn't. Hey, Dave, I got to run. I've got other folks trying to get in on the stress line. And
all right.
I'll
see you later, Rob.
I want to let folks through. Dave, take care. Give our best to Christine, please.
I will.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Our buddy Dave in Taliban, Indiana. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs went ahead and just kicked in her portion of the challenge, what she was going to do as a challenge into the challenge as it stands. So we are now down to $175 to go on John and Marilyn's Keep It Lit challenge. There's about 18 minutes left in the program, and this is the downhill run toward trying to get Appalachian Power off my back. What a winter it was. God, brutal. Yeah, but hey, you know, summer comes and power bill probably fall to only $400 a month. Clean coal electricity keeps the lights. Yeah, it drives me crazy. There are already ads running for Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, in which the narrator, and they won't let Jim voice his own ads, the narrator says, West Virginia depends. It may be a PAC ad. West Virginia depends on coal jobs for its economy. And the minute I heard, Joe Manchin needs to get his nose out of the butthole of Joe Biden. Do these people, I guess they just assume that nobody in the state actually watches the news, hears, and maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. Maybe everybody in the state's busy watching Dancing with the Duck Hunters. I don't know. But no one has done more to stifle Joe Biden's agenda than Joe to the Manchin born. Joe Manchin's name will be something that people spit on the ground over and maybe have to put out a fire, you know, as climate change worsens. Let's go over to the Skype line, check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy, how are you? Tracy. I'm not muted. Audio's in the board.
Me?
Are you there?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're very faint.
Well, there's something happening with Skype because it was just really weird when I was on hold. I heard you clearly. We're talking to Dave. Hey, Dave. And then I heard nothing, and it sounded like, you know, you guys were in the bottom of a pit. So now you're saying that you can barely hear me?
Yeah, you're faint.
Okay.
I've got you gained up. I had some room to give. I said I had some audio room to give, so I've got you gained up a bit.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you're there. You're good.
Okay, so. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
So, first of all, So I, you know, I was because I don't really know how to find Black Twitter, but there's enough Black people that I follow on Twitter, and the consensus is because I heard you earlier talking about Florida, and you know, I think I sent you the article about him, you know, the funding, the DEI programs, and all this, and you know, Black, you know, public universities and stuff. So now there's this whole thing that for future, you know, athletes going to Florida State universities and stuff like that, to just say no.
I think that would be fine. You know, those blue chip five star college, you know, high school recruits. Yeah, no, I am not
They're
going
like,
to Florida.
I'm not going to Florida. Fuck you.
And you know what? Watch the University of Florida and the University of Miami and Florida State University stop being competitive.
Ooh. That's another thing that they were talking about was as far as their, you know, people getting degrees from those schools now. And it's like, oh, you went to where? Oh, no, don't bother to send us your resume.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the class of, you know, after 2023, or, you know, I'm sorry, you know, your degree ain't going to be worth shit. You might as well go ahead and wipe your arse with it, because it's just, I think I told you, you know, Jen and I got a free cruise, right?
Yeah.
And it was going through, you know, through the Panama Canal. And even with the upgrade, for a 12-day cruise, I mean, it was going to cost us $2,000. Right now, that's, you know, get out of the picture right now, but hopefully things will shift and we'll be able to do. But the thing is, we weren't going to go because it starts and ends in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. And I am true to my word, sis. I will not step foot in Florida ever again until something, you know, I don't know, you know, the Sanctum, something, I don't know, until they, you know, get rid of these policies. Oh, and then isn't he trying to get a bill signed, or has it already been signed, or, you know, that, because I guess in Florida they have a law, a stipulation that if you're running for office, then you have to resign the current office that you're in. And so he's trying to get, you know, go through the legislature, since, you know, they're his minions.
So he can stay governor and run for president?
Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more. there's another thing he's trying to do as well, because I guess they have, you know, I guess Florida has strong Public Information Act laws and what have you. And so he's trying to change that. So his travel plans are no longer made public.
Because he's a chicken shit.
Right. So you're saying that, so not only are you not going to have to resign as from being the governor, you're going to make sure that as you're campaigning and stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure most of that, you know, because he'll still be governor, so the money that he's going to use to campaign and stuff, even though he's not supposed to, will more than likely be, you know, funds from, you know, the good folks, you know, God-fearing folks of Florida. So you're not going to let me know, you're not going to tell us where you're going and who you're going to see. So, you know, you take those flights to, I don't know, Russia or China or whatever, so nobody can quit. Girl.
I know. Well, sure. I got another one for you, since it's Florida.
Oh, God.
So last week, a teacher in the Hernando School District named Jenna Barbie.
No. Jenna Barbie?
Uh-huh. No hate.
Okay.
She decided to play the 2022 movie Strange World for her students. It's a Disney animated film.
Yes, it is. As a matter of, yeah, it sure is.
It's rated PG, not even PG-13. And now the Department of Education is having a hissy, and and has sent letters down to the school in question that says
a representative from the Office of Professional Practices of the state's education department will be on campus on or about Wednesday, May 17th, 2023. If you have no objection, the representative may interview your daughter or son, your daughter slash son.
No non-binary kids in that school, I guess.
In connection with an investigation of a Florida certified edumacator.
They're going to interrogate children for watching a Disney cartoon.
Disney cartoon.
Because they're having a shit hemorrhage because a school board member objected to the film because it's got a gay character in it. And, of course, why not? This is the same school that asked cisgender girls, teenage girls, to turn over their menstrual histories.
Oh, God. And, you know, remember, Robert, you called that shit. You called that shit. You, like you said, you know, when all this stuff was going about, you know, what was it, a year or two ago, and you said, any woman who uses cisgender female, who uses an app to track her menstrual cycle, ditch it and get off the how I used to do it back in the day. Got that goddamn calendar with the red circle.
Yes, yes.
That part. Mm-hmm. You got to count, bitch. You got to count. So it's like.
But I gotta tell you, so this is funny. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But sometimes I never cease to be amazed by social media influencers. And I can't, honestly, I cannot remember this woman's name. But she went walkabout somewhere out in your neck of the woods.
I gotta cut out here.
Because that's okay. Where all the influencers live, damn it.
Live. I know, fuckers.
Beautiful young woman. And she went out walkabout. And the headline from, like, People Magazine said, "Can you spot what's missing in this photo?" So she's wearing, like, a sport coat blazer over a crop top.
Course.
That is labeled with the words "high class white trash."
No.
She's carrying a purse that looks like it could possibly be the stunt double for Cousin It.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
She's got her keys and a bottle of water in the same hand of the arm that's carrying the purse. On her feet are a pair of Cousin It slippers. Now, she's not, like, lounging by the pool. She's walking around in somewhere downtown, somewhere in California.
Just asking to get mugged.
But we haven't gotten there yet. Because, remember, the headline is, "What is missing? Can you spot what's missing in this photo?" Below the waist, and I am not shaming, I'm not, no. Below the waist, the only thing she is wearing is a pair of what appears to be men's Diesel brand boxer briefs.
What?
And I showed the picture to Annette, and she's like, "Better hope that, because this—that's what reminded me of this. Better hope the hell her period don't come early."
Okay.
Because, you know, it's always totally regular, right?
Always, except for that one time.
When you went out in public wearing nothing but a pair of men's Diesel boxer briefs.
Right.
But I do have something fun and enjoyable. Oh, and a big thank you to Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. Brendan helped bring down the challenge goal to 165. That's Brendan up in Oregon. Thank you so much, Brendan. I appreciate it sincerely.
Yay, Oregon.
About 5 minutes to go to bring in 165.
So before you, reason why I called, you know, it's been a week since Kimba passed and things have just kind of, I'm not crying as much. But so, as y'all know, there was the issue with Jan and, you know, being suddenly let go from her job. And she's entitled to, you know, Social Security and unemployment. And it's been a month going back and forth with both agencies, and there's been no movement. You know, one day they'll call, she'll call, and it's, you know, well, first of all, if you could get through to unemployment, and then if you get through, there's like three different, every time she calls, there's this, there's that, there's this. And same with Social Security. Well, at least with Social Security, there's the actual office. We don't have, you know, employment development offices anymore here in L.A. I don't think we have them anymore in California where there's actually human people, right? So because I don't know if you guys remember, but back, you know, in the throes of COVID and with the PUA and stuff, I was having some issues with unemployment. And I finally got totally frustrated, and I wrote my state representative, Jesse Gabriel. And the next day, guess what, y'all? I got some people calling me from the unemployment office. Well, I did the same thing yesterday for Jan because I just got tired, right? And I wrote the email saying, you know, senior citizen, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not technologically proficient. I just need help. Hunty, that was yesterday, okay? Hunty. She got a call from the EDD this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
And they got her account straightened out. The rep stayed on the phone with her while she signed in and got everything. So she's now certified and registered with unemployment. She just called today also to get, because you got to get the EDD card to get your money. Instead of just, see, this is the stupid part. She has a checking account. Why can't we just set it up so you can just have a direct deposit into your checking account? This, you know, but that would be too much like, right. So anyway, so that's taken care of. So this morning, we were still having issues with, you know, Social Security. I did the same thing with Social Security. I contacted my state rep, my federal rep, representative, who is Brad Sherman. And
right.
I wrote this letter about, you know, this is just ridiculous. Again, saying I know these things take time. However, I am about to be plunged. I've never had a job, and I've never had to worry about. She's like, I had no intentions on retiring any time before before I was 70 because I wanted to get my full benefit, but I can't now because of, you know, being fired from my job, blah, blah, blah. I need help. Hunty, we got a letter from Brad Sherman already. He's on it.
Nice. So, you know, and he's been there a million years. So he's, you know, people pick up the phone when he calls.
Right, because I did all this stuff was online. So like when I sent the letter to Jesse Gabriel, she got an email back from them right away. And how it works is, you fill out this form with your information and again what the situation is, and Social Security number and stuff, so they can look into, giving them permission to look into your case.
Yeah.
And so, that was yesterday, done today. Same thing with, so when you go onto Brad Sherman's site, same thing, it says, are you having a problem with a federal agency? You hit the drop down, Social Security Administration, you know, you put in, your pertinent information, Social Security address, email, blah, 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 and any documentation you have, and there you go. So,
well, wonders never cease.
Well, see, and so, because like when I listen to, you know, what's going, you know, the people that are probably in your state legislature and all these other states, again, can you imagine?
Useless as tits on a boar hog.
Right. And could you imagine sitting, calling your congressperson or emailing your congressperson for your district in West Virginia and getting a response the same day?
No.
Okay.
We used to have members of Congress who would do that.
Right.
Used to.
Right. And so this is when I hear, like when I listen to, like you were talking about, Boobelhead, and she getting divorced. Bless her heart.
I know. I know.
Poor thing. So when I listen to these, because I can't even, it frightens me to the very core that if I lived in a state where somebody like that was my representative, first of all, both of my representatives are Democrats. And even with, I went on to the, they did all this redistricting. And even when they did the redistricting, the people, it's only like 17%. Before the redistricting, you know what I'm trying to say? It was 19% Republican. Now it's 17%. So we've lost Republicans. And the majority.
Darn. I wonder if they'll ever be found.
Jesus. Poor things. I hope they go wandering.
Well, I am so happy to hear that. I want to share something with you before we run out of time, though.
Yeah, before you run out of time.
Call this. And by the way, just received a lovely note. Funds to be sent for our two sisters currently interchanging, plus those sisters out in the listening ether. Thank you so much. So we're down to 145 on the challenge. So that's wonderful.
Yay.
It's over half met. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I don't know if that's supposed to be anonymous or not, so I'm going to do anonymous until I'm told otherwise. This is really cool. There's some great clips from today that I haven't gotten to. And maybe that's a tomorrow thing, since I did some kind of prayer meeting stuff tonight. We'll blow off prayer meeting tomorrow and deal with these, because, oh, my God. There is a freshman member of the House, and she is a badass sister.
Ooh, what's her name?
Jasmine Crockett.
Okay.
Black woman named Crockett.
Okay.
From Texas. From Texas.
No.
Yes. And they were having a hearing today. She's a freshman, brand new. And the Republicans were having a conniption about crime. And you know what that means when a Republican screams it, right?
Right. Black people.
Mm-hmm. So they were having a conniption about crime in Washington, D.C., and Mayor Muriel Bowser, who is...
Black.
Yeah. And U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, who isn't. And they let Representative Anna Paulina Luna, whose name always reminds me of a character from The Fifth Element. Remember the opera?
Corbin Dallas? Yeah, the opera singer. She's bad, man. When she started doing pop locking and shit, man.
Yeah, yeah. And Papa, her name was Paula Laguna, and this woman's Paula something something Luna. Paula Anna Luna. Or at least it is now. There's some George Santos asked questions about her identity, and then, of course, and she was accused by another Republican. This is not me. Accused by another Republican of, and I'm sorry, there goes dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone, of doing the nasty with Matt. It just gets worse. I know. So she was pontificating, Anna Pavlaguna. Stop that. And so Victoria Crockett was next. And this is what they call a moment, also see sick burn. Stand by.
Ooh.
But what I am asking is for you to do your job and make people feel safe, especially those that are depending on you to do it. When you see cases of, you know, 48% increase in sexual assault cases, my goodness.
So
That's it. I've heard enough. Chairman, I yield my time.
Sexual abuse. I am so excited that my colleagues across the aisle care about sexual abuse, considering that the front runner right now for, like, presidency is kind of just been found liable of sexual abuse. So I'm excited because this may mean that finally some folk will back off from supporting him because we don't support sexual abusers in this chamber. So I'm happy about this.
But what I am asking is for you to do.
Did you catch that? So I am happy about it. Yeah. But she wasn't done. I mean, she still had some clapback left in her. And I mean, this was she went full on LeBron on Anna Pavlovna. And she said this was good. She I don't have the clip for this. She said, my Republican colleagues want to talk about keeping the streets of D.C. crime-free. They can't even keep the halls of Congress crime-free. We're going to talk about this because I got 24 seconds. My freshman colleague has just been indicted on 13 felony counts, right? But have they exhibited any courage to say, you know what, we will not allow this in our body. We will disallow this in our body. We will make sure that we expel this individual. They have not. So what I don't want to hear is that they care about crime, because if they did, they'd start by cleaning up our own house and mind our own business instead of coming after D.C. I know. And I mean this with all the love and affection in my heart. Bad bitch.
Bad ass bitch. Oh.
Boss ass bitch.
This boss ass bitch. We need to get the clip of this girl's on fire. Oh.
Well, it's over on Twitter, and you don't have to scroll very far before the GIF of the woman walking away from the car and the car exploding behind her.
From Waiting to Exhale. And
yes, from Waiting. Yes, from Waiting to Exhale.
Oh, see,
she bears some watching.
She, you know, with our, you know, the Justins in Tennessee, and this sis here.
There is a bench, and there is a new generation coming.
I am here
for it.
I am so. Speaking of here for it, so remember that clip that the brother that I sent you the video about the Dave Chappelle thing and then the one about the black conservatives, right? Oh, sis, he came out with a new video, YouTube video about black conservatives. But the black conservatives that you don't know are black conservatives because they're under the guise of black thought and leaders and stuff like that. Girl, guess who he came from? For. The first one was Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
The second one was Bill Cosby. And the third one was Jay-Z.
Get out.
Girl. Now it's about... Ooh.
Yeah, no, that's a call out.
Oh, when he called out Farrakhan, because he grew up in Chi-Town, right?
Right.
And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm low-key scared for what I'm about to do. But when, you know, because it's about black political thought and how the socialist movement in black political thought has just been erased. You know, the Republicans love to bring out MLK and stuff, who was, when he was alive, one of the most hated motherfuckers in the country, okay? But when he started getting radical and started moving toward a more social agenda and got away from his respectability politics and shit like that, girl, hunty, this young brother, he was talking, I mean, because basically he talks about capitalism and how, you know, you just got to watch it. And basically, he calls out all these black billionaires and millionaires, and yes, they may throw, you know, at one point, when all the JC got all this money, he was supposed to have bought the projects that he grew up in and do a revitalization. And put, you know, social programs and schools and all these things that he said he was going to do. Yeah, you know what he did with that money? He bought like a 1/10% of a tenth of the Nets or whatever. a basketball team. He's not even a real owner.
I was once the owner of a 1/32nd working interest in a gas well.
Okay.
You're not an owner.
You're not an owner. You're not an owner. And one of the things he's like, what happens is all these, you know, and he's like, look, I'm not taking away from the, you know, their what they've done to get this money, but stop acting as though this is the way that we're going to, because what he said was, and this is what I loved about him, this is the black bourgeoisie and how a lot of the places where they got their money was backed by white people. You look at hip hop and how it used to be about, you know, the resistance and revolution and all this, and you know. And now look at who, you know, you got Ice Cube, you know, how many years, you know, a few decades back, he's like, fuck the police. Now he's sitting there talking about, you know, listening to Trump. See, because he opens the clip about Malcolm X talking about, you know, when the so-called black leadership. He's like, why is it that when white people prop up so-called black leaders, it's a comedian or back then it wouldn't have been an athlete, or a comedian or a singer or stuff like that. He's like, I don't ever remember seeing white people prop up white comedians or singers or entertainers as leaders. You don't see that, do you?
Well, not so much.
You know, of course, this was before, you know, Trump and all that, entertainers. I mean, this, you know, but this is during but back then, but even now, you don't see, you know, you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger and blah, 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 blah. But in general, you don't see that. But especially during Malcolm's time, that wasn't happening. Not at all. But it still like Steve Harvey and, you know, and all these other people and Kanye West and it's just, girl, it's just, you know, so anyway, but I know you got to go, but I'm just let everybody know that, you know, it's taking a minute, but it seems like now things are happening and I'm just really glad. It's good to know that I have state and federal representatives that if I have a problem that I know I can contact them and they can help.
Yeah, that they will do their damn job.
That they will do the job that I voted for them. And even if I hadn't, I'm still a constituent.
Right, and they should still have the same obligation to you that they would have to someone who voted for them.
Right, you know, so, but I, you know, I'm saying this to say, you know, for, you know, you guys, if you live in a state that you know you have decent representation, if you're having issues on the state or local or federal level, I haven't had any local issues yet. So, and we have a new, I have a new city council person, so I don't know her. She just got elected this past election, so I have no idea what she's about. She doesn't really have a voting record yet, so I don't know what her backstory is. But I know she's a Democrat, but I'm glad to know that the system does work and that we do have, you know, representation.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so that part. So anyway, I know you gotta go, sis. I love you.
Love you dearly.
And I love my family. I hope everybody's doing well. And, you know, hey, for those people, now look at here real quick, because I'm going to do my sermon on the 405 for like 2 seconds. Y'all, there's a challenge on the table. Help a sister out. You know, again, like I said last week, this time, you know, it was the day after Kimba died. No, it's the same day. I don't remember. But anyway, y'all, we got to keep the lights on. We can't let, you know, Robin down. Please, 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 please. 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 Y'all, come on. make, you know, get her the help that she needs so we can continue with this experiment, because this is, you know, this is how we stay sane. So on that note, I'm out.
Not quite. I got one last thing, one last indignity before the evening ends.
Okay. Yay.
The next election cycle, Kentucky Stan may have a black governor. And come November, Kentucky Stan may have a black governor.
Yeah, but
he's endorsed by Trump.
That's what. This is
the guy who tried to blackwash the slaughter of Breonna Taylor and did a pretty damn good job of it.
Right.
Is he
the attorney general? Wait.
Yes, he's the attorney general, Daniel Cameron.
Yeah, girl, I gotta sit.
And he even beat the mean ass Karen, who said she was gonna exterminate all the transgenders from Kentucky schools.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna say that one more time, just for those that, you know, in the chief seats. What the fuck, man? I am so tired of these people, sis.
This is one of those rare moments. He also, because I think at some point in time, I remember Moscow Mitch McConnell saying, "Well, he is like a son to me."
Oh.
It's almost like he's my boy.
He's your boy.
Oh, dear.
See, this is what happens when we start talking.
I need absolution. I need absolution for that one.
No, because you're just speaking truth. It's just, you know, I definitely this video is like, it's just the one I just talked about. Talk about the double agent. The girl, when you watch, I can't wait for you to watch this video and just listen to what he has to say and just say, well, I'll be damned. It's thought provoking. And so the fucking Uncle Tom, that's just, girl, it's just really hard for me to wrap my head around these people. It's just,
it hurts.
It just gives me, it's the never ending migraine headache. You know, it's just,
we are all Jean-Luc Picard with his forehead in the palm of his hand.
Yes. Oh, speaking of which, did you watch Picard on? Is it worth watching, or have you watched it?
I haven't, because I, for the life of me, cannot get Paramount Plus to work worth beans.
Oh, really? Well, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. It sucks.
You know, did you delete it and reinstall it and all that?
More times than I can count.
Well,
I swear to God, if you ask me if I've turned my router off and then turned it back on, I'm hanging up this instant.
Okay, I won't do that.
But there's a new Ted Lasso this evening.
That's right, today. Oh, that's, today is Tuesday.
Yes.
Oh, because why did I think?
Do you know how many times I have gone back and watched the Amsterdam episode with that fine Dutch man in it?
I had impure thoughts watching Baby Boy.
and now that word he keeps using in that episode keeps popping up, because it looks like it feels like a really, really useful word. Gezellig?
Gezellig? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because there's no direct English translation. It's just gezellig.
Right.
We used to have listeners in the Netherlands, and they're like, and if they're still there, they're like, oh, she learned it. Because it's like the ultimate expression of just, like, Dutch cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I so that would give me... You just made me smile because I don't know why I thought Ted Lasso was on Wednesday, so thank you.
Nope. You got this one, and then there's two more, and then it's over.
And then it's over.
Going to probably need grief counseling. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, they keep alluding that maybe it's not.
But it's going to be over for Jason Sudeikis, and he's making no bones about it.
Okay.
Because if you notice, one of the things about this season is that a lot of the stuff that you would ordinarily hear from Ted in season one and season two, you're hearing from other characters. That's the impact that he's had on their lives. And plus, their own story arcs are developing. I swear if they cliffhanger me, but you know they're going to, damn it. I gotta go because all told back here, I've been back here for 4 hours and,
Yeah, you gotta handle your business.
It's something like that.
Well, anyway, baby, I love you more than I love my luggage.
What is this with luggage? Stop. Don't go there. I'll talk to you later. We'll sort this out later.
We'll sort this out later. Love you, boo.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
And so we come to the end of what feels like a wild ride. And there's still so much. We didn't get to the AI hearing. I guess we'll have to do that tomorrow, too. Because that's some weird shit. Technical term, that. So we finished the program with $145 left to go on the challenge. Hopefully the overnight crew will pick up some of that slack. It would be great. Thank you so much. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to everybody who jumped in this evening on the challenge. Thank you, each and everyone. And thank you, John, in Maryland, for making it. And thanks for that lovely conversation earlier today. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Don't know if Roger or Steve popped by, because I really don't go back to the chat room that often unless, you know, somebody tells me. But thanks, y'all. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, please like and subscribe to the podcast. If you listen on Podbean, listen, like and subscribe and leave a comment there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, like and subscribe on there. If you listen on Spotify, like and subscribe, leave a comment there. You see how it works. Thank you. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Do what you can. Wear your mask. I mean, get your booster if you can do that. And if you're due for a booster, you qualify, get it somehow. I don't even know what they're going for now. But please wear your mask when you're around the maggots. Keep yourself safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Pandemic or no pandemic, it's still a pretty damn good idea. Maintain your social distance and, well, if some clanny granny comes towards you down the sidewalk singing R-D-I-V-O-R-C, ignore her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.